It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland on the journey of the Sound Mind broadcast. Always great information shared and discussed with Daniel Pryor. Good morning, good afternoon,
morning,
Daniel.
Mark.
As we record these usually in the morning and hear them in the afternoon. But hey, your information and advice is great any time of day. And this week, you want to get back to something that comes up in a lot of your broadcasts, and that's the importance of Christian fellowship, Christian community. But you want to really focus in on, it needs to be, really, it's the Christian family that we need to take advantage of.
Yeah. And of course, the reason, or the way that I come up with ideas and topics for shows is that I actually have a counseling practice, and so I'm talking to people through the week. And a lot of times, that's what generates what I wind up talking about here. And so if people have been listening for a while, they sort of have probably begun to see that there's a theme that goes through the shows. And if you've heard very many of them, then it's there's kind of a core group of topics and the ways that I approach things. And of course, that's how I talk to people when we're in counseling session. And the radio show just gives us an opportunity to kind of broadcast that. Not that people can get the same kind of help through a radio show,
sure.
But a lot of times they can get what they need, and it's just a way of getting good information out there. And so this came up. In fact, it's come up, as you say, a number of times in our radio broadcasts, and a lot of times in the counseling, because people will come in and they have these presenting problems of depression and anxiety, and it's. You know, Bible-based counseling, and I believe that a community solves a lot of the problems. In fact,
being part of one,
yeah,
or conversely, not being part of one is why you're having problems.
Can cause, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We live life, and life is full of disappointments and hills and valleys, mountains and valleys. But it helps to know that other people go through those things too, and how they get through them, and walking, having someone to walk with you through those things. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to address that, talk a lot about it, talk about toward, you know, the latter part of the show, we're going to be talking about some mental health reasons to find a good family church, and how would you go about looking for family church, because I talk to people in my practice at all stages of involvement in churches. Some of them can't find, say they can't find a family church, or can't find a church that meets their needs, and other
Why
people.
Do you think that is? Because there's like a church on every corner, it seems like, in America. We got churches coming out our ears, and people say they can't find a church. What do they really mean by that, they can't find a church?
Yeah, it's we have an expectation, and I'm not sure. I think probably that expectation is pretty unrealistic. What a person means is I probably have an expectation that the church is going to, you know, meet me where I'm at, and it's going to, you know, my experience in the church is sort of going to unfold in such a way that there aren't going to be any disappointments or surprises, or, you know, it's going to be whatever I need it to be at that time. And of course, that's pretty impractical. Family experiences, if you take the idea of church and you sort of think of it in a microcosmic way and look at it as a family, a small family, and think of your own family, how many people have grown up in families where they were never disappointed, and that they never had to take a time out, and those kinds of things. It just doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen in church either. They've got a lot of people there together. But, you know, part of what church is about is the melding together of people, and God is teaching us a lot of things in that family setting. I've got down here, we talk a lot about having a life centered on Christ. That's kind of a something that Christians parrot a lot, and it's almost like a slogan, you know, to have a Christ-centered life. But how do you have a Christ-centered life? And I've got down here that in order to have a Christ-centered life, you have to have a life that's anchored to Christ's program. And, of course, Christ's program is the body of Christ.
There you go.
That's his only program. And so we've got to be in on that program. So there are some objections that we have when we're looking for church and we can't find one. It's usually that we have an objection to the ones that we've visited. And
the most common one is full of, just a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, there.
Hypocrites. So you want to just, let's talk about that one, because I actually heard that one this week.
That's what brought this subject back up with you. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was a... this is probably the reason, the reason that people say, it's just kind of rolls off the tongue so easily. But what do we mean, or what do people mean by that? Because as we were talking just before we were on air, you typically don't hear a person refusing to go to church because a certain individual is a hypocrite. Mm. That person's a hypocrite, so I don't go to any church. Usually it comes out, the church is full of hypocrisy.
It's just a big generalization.
And so what could that really mean? And we were suggesting that it probably has more to do with churches don't see things the way I do. When I go to church, I don't agree with the things that they say. Doesn't fit with my worldview. I don't get my way. I don't get to be in charge. We've talked in a lot of our shows about the reach for value, control, and power, and how that being denied value, control, and power generates anxiety and depression and those kinds of things. And so the pursuit of life, joy, and those kinds of things often kind of boils down to a reach for value, control, and power. Do I have am I a value in this family or this church? Do I have control? Certainly not control of other people, although it winds up being that a requirement. But what I'm really after is I want to control all the things that affect me. So, for example, some people will go and get all they can't stand that church because the sound system is too loud, or because they serve communion too many times. The small church that my wife and I attend, they have kind of a break in the middle of the service, and people actually kind of have a lunch break or something.
In the middle of the church.
Yeah, it's okay. Kind of an odd thing, but we've gotten used to it, and it's a time that it's probably because this church began in a house, in a home group setting, and it was around food that people gathered, and that's just one thing that they didn't cut out when they moved into their building.
But they do
building.
It in the middle of the service, not at the end of the service.
Yeah, and I imagine people that visit think that that's pretty odd.
Okay.
And odd things about it, so people have other kinds of it. Music's too loud. They might say people aren't friendly. They might say, I just get lost in the crowd.
Well, what about what we normally think of hypocrisy when people are, I always think of it as they're holding up this standard of right and wrong that's so high and lofty, and yet none of them are living up to it themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the general sense that people have, or they, you're better, you're holier than thou, this idea. Mm-hmm. That seems to, where do you think that, what's going on with that?
With the idea of that they're, they have an expectation.
Expectation of themselves and everybody else, and yet secretly none of them are doing that, and yet they're judging me.
Yeah, it seems like there's could be a lot of things involved in there. Just, first of all, not really understanding the work of salvation and God's forgiveness. Maybe not being a forgiving person or an accepting person or a receiving person. You know, we've talked before, and this is going to come up, I'm sure, in this program too, about personalities being defense mechanisms. Mm. And so we go to church and we take our personality with us, and that is a defense mechanism. And so you go into a church and it's a social event, and a lot of people really aren't comfortable in any kind of social event. Mm. And particularly, maybe as you've touched on before, this is a social event that is about spirituality, and it's about, part of going to church is being convicted and, and getting things right with God.
Right.
And so I think that people are uncomfortable with that. They're going to be uncomfortable in church.
Well, this was one of the first things as a non-Christian, and I think I find this, a lot of people who are not Christians, this will be one of their first things they'll throw up. Oh, the church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites. Mm-hmm. But I knew, and I said that kind of stuff, and then, but as soon as, when I became a Christian, I loved being in church, and I didn't see any hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And a few years later, I started maybe feeling some of those things. So that seems to kind of ebb and flow, again, kind of depending on, I think, just more of an informed person. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you understand yourself and your relationship to God and your relationship to the church, where maybe some of that kind of feeling, you can have those feelings and feel okay with it, but you can't stay in that place for very long.
No, if you're seeing a hypocrisy in the church and that's the reason that you're not going, it's probably true that you're seeing that you're not really satisfied with very much of society. In my experience in counseling and personal experience, that has to do also with just not being satisfied with myself and not being satisfied in life.
Now, there could be something wrong with that specific church that gave you that impression, mm-hmm. but we're talking about more the generalized, mm-hmm. They're all just a bunch of hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what do you do if there's hypocrisy in a church? What do you do in a family setting if somebody's acting out or a little bit, you know, sideways? Do you, I'm not a member of this family anymore, or do you try to find ways to, you know, build bridges? And so we've all been we're all hypocritical,
sure.
To some degree. Sure. And so, you know, the scripture, take out the beam from your own eye before you try to remove the splinter from your neighbor's eye. And I think if we people are willing to focus on that and realize that instead of judging and that pointing out hypocrisy is really a form of judgment, what we're really saying is, I wouldn't do that. I'm a better person than that. And that's the kind of judgment that we're not supposed to do that. And it's going to come back and bite you because you'll be judged with that same judgment.
Exactly.
The way to look at that is you can see a fault in another person, but you have to realize that I would be guilty of those same things. I could be guilty of those same things under the circumstances. And that person has there's a reason why that person is that way. And so there's always the opportunity of building bridges. We can always be part of the answer.
And you don't learn that unless you stick in there and hang in there. People mm-hmm. who just see a little bit of something they don't like and they just, mm-hmm. they just jet right out of there. Yeah. You know, you're not going to grow that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're talking about growing, in terms of personality. We've talked before about, personality when you are, kind of stretching or growing your personality and becoming more
empathetic.
And sharing boundaries and sharing mm-hmm. reality, realizing mm-hmm. that, you know, everybody in that congregation has a story. And a lot of the congregations today, people don't get close enough to learn the other person's story, to realize that person sitting next to you. Most churches, they have a kind of a meet and greet time when mm-hmm. you shake hands mm-hmm. because it doesn't really allow enough time to get to know people. Well, and if you're not in the church body to the extent that you're actually getting to know people, that's kind of the benefit of some of the small groups that some churches have. You know, the idea is it's a place to go and get to know people and sort of have a family unit within that larger. Because if you aren't sharing a reality, realizing that other person's story, sharing your story, and getting to know people at that level, you're really not partaking of what church is all about.
Right.
You're kind of a spectator, and that's not what the church is really about.
Well, we're talking about the importance of the Christian family, finding a good church, being part of a good church. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about how if you're not part of a Christian family, this does contribute to mental health issues. And so we want to keep that in mind. You are listening to the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. If you're struggling with something in your life, he does a lot of family counseling, a lot of marriage counseling, a lot of individual one-on-one coaching. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, I can be contacted by phone at 425-778-6169, and people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along for the ride today with Daniel and talking about the importance of the Christian fellowship, Christian family, being part of a church. And if you're not part of a church, some problems that can present in your life. If somebody is talking about depression, hopelessness, anxiety, loss of direction, loss of motivation, Daniel, you say that quite often it's because a part of it is that they're probably not in any kind of Christian fellowship or family.
Right. Well, not certainly it's because they're the correlation I find in all of these is that people typically don't have relationships. They need to work on their relationships. Depression, anxiety, all these things, probably hopelessness. I'd say, you know, hopelessness, there's a number of ways we can look at this, but let's look at them this way. I'll read these off again, and this isn't certainly not an exhaustive list, but these are things that people typically will present with when they come in, and it's depression, of course, anxiety. Some people will say that there will be hopelessness, loss of direction. I've seen a lot of that or noticed, and it's kind of come up, sort of always.
What
been
do you mean
there.
By loss of direction?
People who are trying to make meaning out of their life in circumstances, and they're sort of like going in circles, and they can't get out of they can get tools, coping tools to get out of depression and anxiety, but they wind up back there. In fact, I just heard recently a married couple talking about how that they try these tools that they get through counseling, but they said, we always wind up back here. And so lack of direction, lack of a goal out there. And I find this particularly then with people who are not Christians have it more of a severity. Hmm. Jean-Paul Sartre was quoted as saying that no finite point has meaning apart from an infinite point of reference. So without God or Christians who have not really established the purpose in their life. Because we can talk about as a platitude, my purpose is to have a Christ-centered life or to please God. But unless we're actually having a plan that we're following that plan on a daily basis to make that happen, it's just words, and so it's still loss of direction. But I find that people who aren't believers or people who are believers but they're disconnected, they're not joined into a family or a church family, rather than having an absolute goal out there, an absolute point of reference, they're putting up kind of temporary points of reference. So I was asking a couple the other day, what's the center of your relationship? Where, I say to people, if you don't have a destination, you can't make course corrections. Mm-hmm. So they were identifying things like, well, we want to be happy. We want to, grow old together. And those can serve as a kind of a temporary goal out there, but it's a little bit like sailing on the ocean from one buoy to another. It's not really a real destination. It's once you get to that, what's up? So you need an absolute point of reference that makes all the rest of these make sense. So even Christians can be involved, that they can have platitudes of Christian belief, but they're not connected because they don't have that absolute point of reference. And the thing is that is supplied in the body of Christ. Christ is not just a head. Christ is also a body. We're that part of it. We're the body of Christ. And a lot of the scriptures, that deal in the New Testament with being complete, whole, fulfilled, they're addressed to a body of believers, not to an individual. Mm. When Paul wrote, you're complete in him, he was talking to a group of people, not an individual. And we've kind of in our culture got this idea that I myself am complete in Christ. But it requires the body of Christ. Mm. And so if we're not plugged in
How does that work? How do we see that?
How do we see?
Yeah, how does that happen?
I'm going to take a slant on that question this way. People talk about see yourself as Christ sees you. Mm. Okay, so let's talk. How do you see yourself as Christ sees you? How do you see yourself as anybody else sees you? Well, certainly you have to hear that person how would I see myself as another person sees me unless I know how that other person sees me? So obviously I've got to hear that person. I've got to know that person. I doubt that anybody would take the advice of a total stranger on how the sort of person you are. It's important that I know that person and that we have a relationship, and then that person tells me in some way, this is how I see you. The only credence that has is based on the relationship that we have. And it's the same with seeing ourselves as Christ sees us. It's not really a platitude. You don't just close your eyes and see yourself the way Christ sees you. Seeing yourself the way Christ sees you is participating in Christ's program and walking with God. So it's a daily practice thing that you do. I'm looking here at actually 1 John, and I wanted to bring this scripture out as we are talking here. This is John, of course, talking in the first chapter. In the verse 3, he says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim unto you, so that you can have fellowship with us." So he wants the other believers to have fellowship with the disciples. And he says, "And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son." So now he's sort of painting this picture there's this kind of a fellowship where the saints are fellowshipping together, and that fellowship has to do with fellowship with God and Christ. And he says, the message that we've heard, he says, and we announce to you is that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, the things that we read, the depression, the anxiety, the loss of direction, the loss of motivation, those can be described as a darkness. Those can be kinds of darkness. Now, it says here that in God there's no darkness at all. Mm. So, all right. How do we get on the other side of this? How do we get to the place where we're walking in the light as He's in the light? It says if you walk in the light as He is in the light, then you have fellowship one with another. Mm. And then this other thing, the blood of Christ cleanses us from sin. So these are a couple of big issues in Christian life, struggling with sin and also struggling with fellowship. And how do we have the
issues.
Yeah, and the thing is that they both happen together.
Right.
You know, and so this is just another, we're pointing out mental health problems and reasons.
Let's go through this as we're kind of wrapping up here. Some reasons that people do need to find a good church family.
Yeah, mental health reasons to find a good church family. I've just got a few here. They're not exhaustive, but horizontal relationships are the litmus test for our vertical relationship with God. I could give a small example of a man who I heard about from his wife of a few short years. And this is a man that was very, very spiritual. He, I guess, would walk through the woods singing hymns and reading scripture and quoting scripture. He's a wonderful man. But his wife came complaining one day that he doesn't bathe and he doesn't brush his teeth and he won't go to church because the church doesn't believe what he believes. So here's a man who you would look at the outward and you would say, well, he's got this phenomenal, wonderful relationship with God. But did he really? Because he didn't have any horizontal relationships. And when we don't have those horizontal relationships, we tend to create God in our own image. We sort of create a God that winks his eye at just everything that we do. Right. But if we have horizontal relationships, they don't do that. They call us on things. So that's a litmus test, and that's the way God designed us to be that way. Horizontal relationships are where salvation is worked out. You can't work out your salvation in a closet or isolate it. It takes other people. Horizontal relationships are where the critical fruit of the Spirit applies. So that's where it's developed and that's where it's distributed.
There you go.
In a body. So you think about, I would like to have love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, meekness. All of those imply relationship. And you can't have those without relationship. Horizontal relationships, that's where the love of God is experienced. You know, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. If you're isolated and by yourself, you're missing out on the move of the Spirit and the love of God.
Yes.
That's distributed in the body. And as I said before, most New Testament passages are speaking about this. What to look for in a church? Quickly. Should be a word, and I don't just mean just Bible scriptures, but You know, the word should be coming in such a way that someone is actually studying it in some depth. Worship, worship where not just like a Christian rock concert, but worship where people are actually able to sing unto the Lord together. I like that. A family atmosphere. And a place for involvement, and that doesn't just mean where the kids can be involved. If the kids are involved and the parents are not involved, the kids are going to grow up thinking church is for kids. So parents have to find a way
and
to be involved.
And I've run into that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even pick a church based on if it's good for the kids.
Yeah. And so the parents need to have a way that they can be involved, and they don't have to be in ministry, but they've got to be building relationships with people in the church so that God can work in their lives, and then that's an experience for their kids as well.
Well, we all need to find a good church family. I would think married people, even more doubly important probably for single people, need to be plugged into a good
family,
church.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If people are needing some help in their counsel, in the area of needing counsel for their marriage or their individual life, Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Yes, call me at 425-778-6169, and people also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Great information, always on the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.